Maybe a little different. Well,
so
I remember
essential. So then he came to the point of the stock, and I told him the price of $15,000 or something like that for half interest, and so forth. And then I said, that's only the start, to get by with a year or two, and then these other things have to be done. Yeah, but he says, the ownership, the 50%, at least 50%. Well, I said, 50-50 I'll go, but not over 50. Yeah, we're beginning to wrangle. This is, on my word of honor, if we get into a tussle where we can't agree, I'll surrender. All right, he says, I'll take your word for it. And I says, I'll put that in writing even. So we did, and I made the deal. And I always suspected that he was working for somebody else. He was a cousin or second cousin of Marcus Hanna, who was a senator from Ohio that helped, that was largely instrumental in electing McKinley for president. And I figured that I'd never know who the partners were going to be until one fine day, right up in front of your mother's house, I was talking to him, he was standing there, and he says, well, I'm getting ready to move out here. Well, I was just amazed. I was glad of it.
Yeah.
Only I had this reservation. After all, he was not an experienced man in the business. I couldn't have found a better man for the job.
No.
Because he just fit in with everything.
Yeah.
He had his bad qualities and whatnot that everybody knew about. But he knew how to get business.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had a domineering attitude toward the people he dealt with and got away with it. And when he was gone, well, I realized this would be the end because I couldn't come out here and surrender my job. And in other words, I wasn't built for it either. I've got that all in there. I couldn't hobnob with some kind of people that they have to hobnob with in that business. So I said I'd do the best I could, but I just was fearful that it might not work. Well, it kept on working on inertia, and it got to a point where Sam Chimmer wanted to pay us $200 a share for the $100 par shares to take our interest. Well, I says, I'd be all ready, more than ready. But I says, my brother won't have a job, my sister is there, and I says, those are problems that I don't care to face. I'd rather take the risk and say no. So we said no. Went along, I get a telephone call. Oh boy, he says, we are in trouble, from Hanna. He says, we've lost our brewer. Keys were on the desk, and Ozzy said, I'm all through. What can we do? I says, just keep your shirt on. I says, I'll be out there today. See what we're going to do. Just forget it for the time being. So I come out here, and I went out, and I talked to Gilbert Radke. I says, what do you know about this brewing business? Well, is it the cellar work? I've done that all this time. I says, that's no problem. But the other part, That's something else. I can't brew beer. Ozzy was very careful not to teach anybody.
Teach anybody, yeah.
So I said, listen, you be here tomorrow and we brew beer, because I know how.
You used to do it then?
Huh?
You used to do it?
Yeah. You know, I had this all written down. I always anticipated something like this. The formula. It's particular in the brewing process. It isn't just a case of mixing. Temperatures and conversion from starch to malt or sugar and whatnot. And that has to be watched. And if it isn't watched and done right, you spoil it. So, I said, now you do all the operating. I'll sit down here and I'll read to you. Now do this. Now do that. So, in the meantime, that's going to be bad recording.
What?
Don't finish some of my sentences.
That don't hurt. Yes. You want to hear how it sounds? Just wait.
I don't know when he'll be back.
Oh, I see. But he'll be back, though.
He expects to be. We hope so. Now listen. Whenever, are you hungry? Would you like to eat now?
I can wait a little while.
But I guess he's hungry.
Fine, that's the best.
Sure. I'd like to get just a little bit further.
Well, that soup, you know,
then he can go and then he can come
in. No, he's going to stay right here.
Huh?
Fred's going to eat right here with you and with us.
You're going to let him in here?
Oh, absolutely.
I'd kick him out.
I like that diet. like that diet.
I'd kick him out.
That's why we let him here, because we like him.
So,
I think, Fred, you got something of Alice and I were trying to analyze you the other day. We thought, well, are we stopped?
After a while, I want to talk a little bit slower and try to talk a little bit plainer, because I'd like to hear what my voice is like if I'm a little more careful with it. Not now. I'll tell you when.
Sure. All right.
Because things I've got covered, I don't want to repeat them.
Right. Right.
So I.
Well, do you have the names of all your brothers in the book? Your family. Like that your father's name and your mother's name and
I got my father's name, I got my mother's name, I got the names of my aunts, and I don't think I named all my brothers, but before I get through, I'll name them for you.
Sure.
And anything like that I may have left out, you just make a marginal note and I'll put it in somewhere before it's typed.
All right, sure. Mm-hmm.
Corny. I've got that all written up that you wrote about the lager beer, how lager beer was made and buck beer and all that sort of thing. I got all those papers that you wrote for me when we first came here, and I sent them to the Mabel. They're all published in the Mabel paper. I've got those. Listen, I can fix you a drink. What do you want?
I'll have a Manhattan if you can.
A Manhattan, yeah. And this one, I don't know.
Oh,
I'm glad you calmed him down. Fine. Yeah, you want a little brandy, water, or a martini before we have soup?
A short martini.
What did the doctor say? Nick Smith.
I don't ask the doctor anymore.
Oh, good.
But I slipped a little bit. I think at first when I doctored, I told her that I'd drink a martini before dinner and when I go to bed. So that's good for you, that's all right. And afterwards, I developed hepatitis.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me.
And the form
have any green mix
that develops when people
just
get inoculated.
Just sweet.
Get inoculated, and it comes through the needle from somebody
else's
blood.
Yeah.
That's not contagious. But the everyday handling something and putting your fingers in your mouth and stuff like that, with all the germs you collect, if you get that, that's very contagious.
I see.
And the doctor didn't tell me that's what I had. He only told me that what I've got may be contagious. And then I read this Dr. Carstensen, and then I saw immediately what it was. It's hepatitis. In fact, when he made the examination that covered all that, the bill and the hospital x-rays and stuff cost me about $240,
oh,
and I got back $11.45 insurance.
From the insurance. Oh boy, you didn't win on that one, did you?
So anyway.
See, by the way, while I'm talking about it, you're going to give me the names and all that, but now you people used to grow hops for the brewery down there, didn't you? You grew hops down by the school ground for your brewery?
Yes, I didn't mention that. You can make a marginal note on that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We grew hops. I'm very glad that you mentioned that, because I was thinking, where did they get their malt and where did they get their hops? But we had our own malt facility.
Yeah, have you got that all covered? I can
the
remember.
Hops I didn't.
The hops you didn't.
Because I was thinking, oh well, of course you could get hops in Milwaukee. You could get them every week because of a tray with oxen that go to Milwaukee every week. They come and one day and be back and in 6 days and then go again the next day. But we did grow hops, that's right. And the malt, we had a malt floor. I'm telling about that. And the fella, when he rebuilt that, we tore that out.
Yeah, now listen, I wanted to ask about that. Maybe you didn't cover that. I remember you had those little cast iron plates like that with little grooves in them. I was there when they tore that out.
I'm talking about those.
Cast
iron tea bars instead of rolled.
Yeah.
They were cast iron bars and those cast iron plates were on there. And Max, what's his name, junk dealer in Fond du Lac, he came and got those. And he noticed that at noon everybody was gone. And the last load he got, he made it a point to get it at noon.
Yeah.
And he got it, and we never got paid for several tons of those.
Yes, I
remember. And I got after Hannah to go and sue that bird, but oh well.
Now, you had a big furnace down in the lower room down there.
Yeah.
And you'd burn wood in there.
Yeah, cornwood, yeah, I told you about that.
What are you talking
about? I'm telling that there were sheet iron ducts under that floor.
I see.
And
that's covered.
That's covered in there. But the hops, I said nothing.
Yeah.
And you can either put that on there after
we have it on the tape now.
Or make a marginal note. Now, to make beer, you have to have malt, that is, of course. We never used anything but malt and hops until people wanted a little toned down. And we got to a point where we added Sirleen, which are untoasted white cornflakes. About 15 or 20% of those and barley malt.
Mm-hmm.
Now malt is barley, and you put it in a vat. We had that ready.
I know how the process worked. What I was going to ask you, you had that same mash tub with the old brewery. The old brewery had the same mash tub.
The old brewery did not know. I covered that too.
Okay.
We had a new wooden mash tub when we made some changes in 1911.
I see.
And then in 1946, I think it was, shortly after Hannah died, the mash tub gave out and put in this new one.
Mm-hmm.
And
but that worked with the steam engine originally.
Oh, yeah. The first one worked with the steam engine. I've got that all in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then electrically and whatnot. And the beer itself, you take the malt, which is sweet.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. malt or sugar from the malting process. And you mix that with water at a temperature of, forgotten, 125 or 30 or 40 or something like that. And then you run the machine and you mix this all up. Then you let that stand for a while. And then you start heating it up by blowing in steam and bringing in water. And bring that up to a temperature of 160 or whatever it is, I've forgotten. And you have to let it rest to convert the maltose into sugar, fermentable. Then you are ready to take the next step. You drain it into the kettle and you boil it in the kettle. It's nice and clear where it's drained off and it starts getting cloudy. And you keep that up and finally the cloudiness gives way to little clusters of protein, stuff like that. In other words, solids are precipitated out of that. And that takes, a couple of hours. And during that time, about 15 minutes, 20 minutes before it's through cooking, you throw in the hops, not boil those all the hell gone. You get part of the hops,
yeah.
And you boil that, and just before the hops is only 3/4 of a pound to a barrel, which breweries now have reduced down to about 1/4 of a pound. We never put in less than 3/4 of a pound, and then you throw in the last part of the hops for bouquet, and then it goes to the cellar where it goes to the fermenting tubs, and you put in forgotten how many pounds to a barrel of yeast. It's a kind of a liquid yeast.
Yeah, I remember that stuff, yeah.
And the yeast multiplies about 2 to 1. And beer is a bottom fermenting yeast. The yeast settles to the bottom before, when the fermentation is done. And in ale, you got a top fermenting yeast. The yeast rises to the top and has to be skimmed out. So, there are hundreds and hundreds of kinds of yeast. And some of them are detrimental, some are bad. And you watch this yeast with a microscope. That is, we don't. We let our laboratory, mm-hmm. we had a connection with a laboratory in Milwaukee, that's covered in there. Then, pretty soon, you're contaminated, like the population, with blacks and Chinese and whatnot, and you've got to start off fresh.
Okay.
So with this microscope, they pick out a few of the healthiest looking cells of the type that you want, that the laboratory knows it then.
Why don't you move this away? We've finished with the book here.
You put that in a test tube. You put that in a test tube with agar-agar. And pretty soon you have a little drop of yeast in there.
Can I see it? Excuse me.
Yeah, she's home.
She's home alone.
Then,
as far as I know, yeah.
I thought I'd tell her to come join us for dinner.
Well, sure, if you want to. But
that multiplies.
She was canning, so I don't know if she can leave it.
I'll ask her.
Sure. Thank you.
that multiplies, and you put it in a bigger vessel, and pretty soon it goes faster and faster. And the big boys do this all themselves.
Yeah.
They do all their own pure culture work with their microscopes and whatnot.
It was good help.
Yeah.
Then you throw away all the other yeast and start off with a pure culture.
Start again.
And it goes for a couple of months. Then again, you find it's time for a change. You start with another pure culture. And whenever the fermentation is done, you drain off the beer, and you skim off the top part of the yeast that lies on the bottom and throw it away. And you take the middle portion and preserve it and throw the bottom part away. And you'll have just enough yeast left to start over.
Next batch.
And you keep doing that. And then we had something that I've also got covered in there. We used to make what they call Kreuzen beer, which is what Heilemann still make, which is got a certain degree of superiority.
What does that mean?
All right, I'll tell you what that means. When they make champagne, they've got fermented wine all set without any life in it, any kind. And then you take and have this, have bottled this fermented wine, but leave, say, this much off of the top unfilled. Then they add new unfermented juice. Put that in there and cork it up. Then that starts fermenting and puts the CO2 in the
beer.
Then, in the old days at least, a man would take this to a little place he's got for doing the job. He's got a cap here. Bottle cap or a cork or whatever it would be. Cork is a good thing. And he slowly wiggled. Oh, in this fermentation, the bottles have been set upside down.
Yeah, I see.
And yeast gathers, the yeast gathers at the top of the cork. And then he peels this and just zzz, out that goes and throws the cork and we put. Put the other one down before the thing gets a chance to blow out. That's the way you used to make champagne. Now, beer, what they do generally, most of the time, is let it ferment. Most all beers made this way. We didn't. We made Kreuzen.
Yeah, but what did you do with the keg beer when you Kreuzel?
Huh?
How did you do the keg beer?
Is that good?
I'll get to that.
Bottle beer isn't made that way. The keg beer, bottle beer made the same.
Yeah.
But you ferment the beer 100%. The fermentation takes about 11 days. Then you age it. In the old days with the heavy beers, it'd be a matter of months. In fact, they did all their brewing from fall into late spring. In the summer, they didn't brew at all. They just drew from stock. So, now, you ferment the beer. It's got it all fermented. You got it all aged. And we've got that in pressure tanks, like those steel tanks we have there. and fill them about 85% full of this flat, thoroughly fermented beer. Then, in the fermenting cellar, there's some fresh beer just in the fermenting process. Mm-hmm. And when the beer is in fermentation about 4 or 5 days, when it's at its most violent form, you take this new fermenting beer and you drop it in and finish the other 15% to fill the, and then you bung it shut. That's all covered in there.
That was all in tight wooden barrels, and those big—that was in those big wooden. Years ago, you did that in those big wooden tanks, way
just,
in the bottom.
No, just the age in the wooden tanks.
Yeah.
Not the Kreuzening. The Kreuzening now is bringing this fresh beer.
Yeah.
In there.
Yeah.
And letting it, just like the champagne.
Ferment. Yeah.
Do the fermenting.
But that was a tight barrel.
Oh yeah, that's shut in under pressure.
Yeah.
And that charges the beer. And in order to do that, and on account of the yeast problem, you put in the bottom of the pressure tank wooden shavings. I don't know if they're beech or pine or oak, I've forgotten which. You'd buy those specially. They're about this long and about that wide and maybe a 1/16 of an inch thick. Wooden shavings. You'd cover the bottom. And the yeast from this secondary fermentation gathers on there. But it's less of a job to take out the shavings and then filter the rest, then to have that whole bit. Then those shavings were put into a tub. The big breweries had, that used to be Kreuzening years ago, the only. They'd be hot water and steam. Wash and sterilize those shavings and use them over and over again. Now that's laborious, but the hop flavor and stuff is retained and not destroyed, because the modern breweries, they have closed fermenters, some of them, not all of them, and they collect the CO2 off of the top and they compress it, of course, to 1,600 pounds or whatever it is, to liquefy it, and they store that in pressure tanks, and then they draw this CO2, and you shoot it into the beer. While it's being racked or bottled. In other words,
I see.
The beer starts off as flat beer.
Inject it in there.
And you shoot this in there. But you lose some of the aroma. That high pressure with a high heat takes out. So an ad, a little 2-cylinder, 6-horsepower, oilless compressor. It just had a diaphragm like rubber or fabric.
That was that little green one that was down on the wall there. That little green machine you had on the
Did
wall.
Did you see
yeah,
that
oh
on the,
yeah, I knew how that all worked.
On the shelf?
I lived over there when they fixed that brewery up. Yeah, on the shelf on the side wall down there by the ice machine.
Then I put a self-starting electric clock on there. Then a pressure valve. that when the fermenter isn't at the start, isn't delivering enough gas, that this machine doesn't run to pump idly by. So I had a pipe come from the fermenter down into a big 5-gallon bottle and an outlet on top to make a safety valve, just this back pressure of the water that the
tank wouldn't blow up. Huh?
And then the rest goes on, and all you had to do at the start is find out how long it carbonates through what they call porous stones, which are like tiles
yeah.
that hung in the tanks